Hello and welcome into another episode of Locked On Wolves. Kyle Anderson is the newest member of the Minnesota Timberwolves. It may not have been the extremely headline-worthy, headline-grabbing name that Timberwolves fans are hoping for, but Kyle Anderson is a fantastic addition to the Timberwolves roster. I'll tell you why here on the show today, plus other names that were possible Wolves targets that went elsewhere and what the Wolves might do next this offseason. It's all coming on the show. Welcome in. You are Locked On Wolves.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beek and I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. Happy Friday, everybody. And thank you for making Locked On Wolves your first listen every day. Of course, this show is free and available everywhere, including YouTube, as well as all of your favorite audio platforms from Apple to Google, Spotify to Odyssey. You can also follow the show on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves and at BBeacon. And that's with two B's, two E's, C-K-E-N. NBA free agency is well underway. It started at 5 p.m. Central on Thursday. The Timberwolves made an addition. Kyle Anderson, the former Memphis Grizzly, and before that, a former San Antonio Spur, is a member of the Timberwolves. Now, I want to talk about that for most of the show today, the fit, really kind of the impact on the rotation. And then I want to move on, look at what's next. What else could the Timberwolves do? Where do they sit right now from a cap perspective and also roster space perspective? And the spoiler alert there is, the roster is pretty jam-packed, but that doesn't mean they couldn't free a spot up for the right free agent, or it certainly doesn't mean, or I should say, and it certainly doesn't mean they won't participate in a trade, perhaps, in the coming days and weeks. So there's plenty still to talk about. I want to open with Kyle Anderson, though, because I think it's a really fascinating addition. He's a name that, frankly, I didn't identify in the show as a likely target. I think, in my mind, I thought it was more likely Tyus Jones would go somewhere else and Kyle Anderson would be back in Memphis, and the opposite happened. Tyus Jones re-signed in Memphis pretty quickly. I think it was a three-year deal within the first 30 minutes or so of free agency opening, and that kind of, I guess that hope for the Timberwolves and their fans that Tyus would come home to Minnesota, that went away pretty quickly. And at that point, it looked like Kyle Anderson perhaps could go somewhere and not stay in Memphis, and he ends up in Minnesota. So the signing is a two-year deal for $18 million for Kyle Anderson. It's fully guaranteed per Darren Wolfson of KSTP Channel 5 in the Twin Cities. He was the first one to report that that deal was fully guaranteed. I believe Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN was the first to report it. John Krasinski of The Athletic verified it very quickly. And then Doogie said that the deal was fully guaranteed. We don't know what the structure of the salary is, if it's a straight up $9 million this year, $9 million next year. We'll get into that a little bit later, what impact that could have on next year's cap space. Because remember, in everything the Wolves have done to this point, it suggests the Wolves are trying to maintain the flexibility, and rightly so, no surprise, to have something resembling max cap space next summer when there's a huge free agency class. D'Lo comes off the books next summer, and the Timberwolves could be a much bigger player in terms of free agency and also the trade market next summer than they are this summer. But back to Anderson, this is a pretty strong deal. He was on a four-year, 30-some million-dollar deal with Memphis. He made just a little under $10 million last year, so more likely than not, he's going to take a slight pay cut this year, but not by much. And he really is just kind of right in the prime of his career. Kyle Anderson, if you're not familiar with him, is not a player that relies much on his athleticism anyway. He has very modest athleticism, I think is a good way to say it. He's going to turn 29 in the fall here before the season starts, and his nickname is Slow-Mo. Coming into the draft back in 2014 out of UCLA, he was kind of seen as this fringe prospect who had some interesting peripherals in college, a nice rebound rate, a massive wingspan, like 7'2", 7'3", wingspan for a guy that's 6'9", which, you know, good size, but not very good size for a three, decent size for a four, but a 7'2", 7'3", wingspan, very good rebound and steal rates in college. And so he was kind of an analytics darling coming into the draft. So sure enough, the Spurs snapped him up at the 30th and final pick in the 2014 draft. And by his second season, he was playing regular rotation minutes for a really good Spurs team, played there for his first four seasons, signed with Memphis in free agency. It was a major part of their rotation. Last season, not this recently completed year, but the 2021 season, was the only year of his career that he was really a full-time starter. And he was effective in that role, had career highs in virtually every category in the 2021 season with the Grizzlies. He also shot his career best from the three-point range that year, 36%. Kyle Anderson as a player he's not a knockdown shooter. He's not your typical 3-and-D type role player that you might assume the Wolves would go after. he's much more defense and kind of a jack of all trades, Swiss Army knife type of offensive player. He could do a little bit of everything. He can initiate offense. He can play make for you. He can even create his own shot. Again, not his athleticism, but his length, his kind of a little bit of an old man type YMCA game that, you know, it's not exactly Andre Miller in the twilight of his career, but that sort of a game where he's using angles and leverage and his length and size and, you know, spin off the backboard and creative shot making to get his shots in. It's not athleticism. You know, the size certainly helps, but he can score off the dribble a little bit. He can create for others. He can play make. He's pretty good in the open floor for somebody who's not super athletic. He's pretty decent in transition. And he's a good enough shooter to keep you honest. This year, he was 33% from three for his career. He's 33.4%. He's had a couple of seasons that he was over 36%. I said earlier his career high was last year. Actually, he shot 37%, 37.5% with San Antonio several years ago. So he's had two seasons where he was above 36% from three. So a little streaky in that regard, up and down year after year. But for his career, 33.4%. So he'll keep you honest enough from outside the arc. There's enough consistency there that you can't completely leave him open. In terms of shooting from the corners, which I think is important to note, given the way that the Wolves like to play and how many threes they shoot, he's 37% for his career. He was 43.5% from the corners on three-point attempts this last season with Memphis. So again, very well-rounded offensively. He could do a little bit of everything. I would describe him as a Swiss Army knife type of offensive player. Defensively, he's also really versatile. He's a very good defender, guards most threes, can guard most fours, can switch on to the twos, dangerous enough to do that. Even though he's not super athletic, he's quick enough laterally and has enough of a wingspan, of course, at 6'9 with a 7'3 wingspan to bother guards in the backcourt. So he can play switches defensively. He can play pretty much whatever coverage you want him. He's not necessarily like a one-on-one lockdown defender for you know, superstar perimeter players. I mean, that role could still fall to Anthony Edwards, some combination of Jaden McDaniels, Anthony Edwards, Patrick Beverley, Kyle Anderson. Those guys are all average. You know, in Ant's case, he's at least an average defender. The other three are all plus one-on-one defenders and plus team defenders. The Wolves suddenly, I mean, think about the length in that lineup and add Jared Vanderbilt into that mix. They're not all going to play together, but oftentimes the Wolves are going to have three of Anthony Edwards, Patrick Beverley, Jaden McDaniels, Jared Vanderbilt, and Kyle Anderson on the floor. Oftentimes, almost all the time, they'll have at least three of those five guys together, sometimes four of them. Consider the length in those lineups. And obviously, you add in Karl-Anthony Towns, D'Angelo Russell, if he's still on this roster, you know, not the best defender, but he's a big guard. He has some length to him. It plays right into how the Wolves played defense last year, which was wreak havoc, blitz, high wall pick and roll coverage, and then obviously they want to mix in some other coverages as well. And thinking about Kyle Anderson as part of Chris Fitch's defense is really exciting. Again, the versatility, the size, the switchability, and also the know-how, the veteran leadership, all the intangibles that come with this. He spent 8 years in this league. In those eight seasons, he's been in the playoffs, I think seven of them, if I'm not mistaken. I'm going to make sure that I'm correct in saying that. I believe he's been in the playoffs every year but one in his career to this point. So I exaggerated that a little bit. Pretty close, though. Five or six of his eight seasons, he's been in the playoffs. So he's been in the playoffs plenty with both the Spurs and the Grizzlies and been a rotation guy his entire career. Saw a bit of a dip in minutes this year because Memphis had so much depth, but he's immediately going to step into the Wolves rotation and play an important role, which leads me to my next topic here. How does he fit into the Wolves rotation? What does the roster look like right now, day one of free agency, leading into day two of free agency? A really quick, way too early look at the rotation, but also where does Kyle Anderson get his minutes and who is he pulling minutes away from most likely? And then that leads into the last topic of the show today, and that is what happens next? What are the Wolves most likely to do next as part of the playoffs? First, though, let's talk about our friends over at Arcade 1UP. Boom shakalaka. We have big news. The one, the only NBA Jam is back. Arcade 1UP, the leader in at-home retro arcade games, is not only bringing the best game ever back, but they made it bigger than ever with a Shaq edition machine. People are obsessed with NBA Jam, and I'm thrilled to tell our listeners that you can once again play hoops with NBA legends in this arcade classic. Jump clear across the court and set the ball on fire in one of the first sports games ever to feature real and digitized NBA licensed teams. No fouls, no free throws, and no quarters required. Compete with friends and family through all new Wi-Fi leaderboards, making you more connected than ever. Pre-order now from arcade1up.com. That's arcade, the number one, up. arcadewithup.com for an estimated early September ship date. Arcade One Up is the place for fun. They've got even more classics like Golden Tee, Mortal Kombat, and many others starting at just $3.99. Check this out. They're giving away an NBA Jam Shaq edition to a Locked On listener. Enter for a chance to win a game console for your man cave at arcadeoneup.com/lockedon. That's arcade, the number one, up.com/lockedon. You've got till July 8th. That's just 1 week from now. 1 week to enter to win NBA Jam Shaq Edition console. Don't miss out. Enter today. Who are you going to play with? All right, let's talk Timberwolves rotation. Now, in light of the addition of Kyle Anderson, I think that it's really important to just kind of take a half step back, look at who's on this team and where Kyle Anderson fits in. So we'll get the obvious ones out of the way, and I'm not just going to like rattle off names, but we'll go quickly here with some of these. The starting lineup from last year is all intact. We don't know who's going to start, but for the sake of argument, I don't want to... It's July 1st. I'm not going to go into the who's the starting lineup yet. That's we'll do that later. But the last year's starting lineup, so D'Lo, Pat Bev, Anthony Edwards, Jared Vanderbilt, Carl Anthony Towns, they're all still on the team. They're all still under contract. And also, I should say, right as I started recording this, Carl Anthony Towns officially, the team hasn't announced it, but Adrian Wojnarowski announced that Carl Anthony Towns is signing his Supermax extension, $214 million over 4 years, that gets tacked on to what he still has left on his deal. So essentially, he's got 6 years left with Minnesota. I don't know that that's a major headline. It was completely expected. It's great the Wolves got out of the way now, but I did want to say that just broke as I was recording this kind of right before midnight central Thursday leading into Friday. So congrats to Carl Anthony Towns and to the Timberwolves for getting this done. Excited to have him, of course, on board and not have to think about these Towns to the Knicks rumors, you know, that we've been dealing with for the last several years because they never go away. At least we'll get a couple years off from that. But at any rate, last year's starting lineup is intact. Backups at every position, you figure besides Pat Bev, Jordan McLaughlin's the only other point guard under contract. Malik Beasley is your backup at the two. And then at the three and the four, you've got some combination of Kyle Anderson, Jaden McDaniels, and Torian Prince, who of course signed the extension earlier this week. That was officially announced by the team right after free agency started on Friday. And then backup center, you've got Naz Reid and you've got the rookie Walker Kessler. That right there is 10 players. That means that your 11th guy is probably Wendell Moore, the other first round pick. Did I mention Kessler? Yeah. So it would be Wendell Moore and Jalen Noel would be your next guys. So that right there is 12 players and you've got 15 under contract. Your other ones being Leandro Balmaro. I guess I did name 15. So that's it. Those are your guys, right? And then you've still got a restricted offer or a qualifying offer out to restricted free agent Nate Knight. And then the second round pick, Josh Minot, who at this point might sign a two-way deal. He might sign a partially guaranteed deal similar to what Jalen Noel did a few years ago as a second round pick. We don't know yet, but he'll sign something. So you've got your 15 guys. Who are your top 10? It's your starting five from last year. And even if they're not all starting this year, Malik Beasley's six. Kyle Anderson, we'll call him seven. Jaden McDaniels, we'll call him eight. Torian Prince, nine. Either Naz or Kessler, that's 10. That leaves out Jordan McLaughlin. It leaves out Jalen Noel. Leaves out Wendell Moore. So if you assume that one of Naz or Kessler's in the rotation in your top 10, that means one of Naz or Kessler's outside the top 10. Jordan McLaughlin's outside the top 10. So is Jalen Noel and so is Wendell Moore. That's how much depth this team has. So positional flexibility is what Kyle Anderson gives you. That's also what Torian Prince gives you. Those guys could almost be interchangeable at the three and the four. I think Kyle Anderson's a little bit of a better all-around defender. I would say Torian Prince is a little bit more, not talented. I think he could do a little bit more offensively. He's certainly a better spot-up shooter than Kyle Anderson. But effectively, those guys are both your combo forwards. They can both play the three. They can both play the four. They can both guard both positions. They're switchable enough to switch on to twos. Kyle Anderson can even guard fives in the right lineup, depending on, you know, if the other team's going small. So tons of positional flexibility there. And you've got a couple of guys who are kind of locked into their roles. So what gives? You know, what happens next for the Wolves? Who's out of the rotation? I mean, we talked on the show on Thursday. Chris Finch talked glowingly about Jalen Nowell to the media just the other day. And now he's like the 12th guy all of a sudden because this team is so deep. Your first round pick, Wendell Moore, he likely doesn't see the floor. There's almost no way he's in the rotation to start the season. And Tim Connolly, you know, has basically said as much in the media. It's just fascinating to see. This is a team at this time last year and going into the season, you know, last August, September, October, I was talking about on the show about just how deep this roster was. And we saw that throughout the season. It's already even deeper. I mean, you've essentially just swapped out Josh Okogie for Kyle Anderson. That's really the only thing we've done. Kyle Anderson's a better player than Josh Okogie. I love Josh Okogie. Kyle Anderson's a better player. Otherwise, this is essentially the same roster. They brought back Torian Prince. Everybody else is back. You've added depth in Walker Kessler. You've added depth in Wendell Moore. Those guys are, yes, rookies, but they should be decent enough rookies, right? In their roles if they're called upon. So not much else has changed. And Kyle Anderson, I think, slots into like a seventh, eighth man role and bumps everybody else down. It would impact Jalen Nowell's minutes, potentially could impact Torian Prince's minutes, could impact Jaden McDaniels' minutes, or Jared Vanderbilt. You know, perhaps it is Jaden McDaniels that starts at the four, or Kyle Anderson starts at the four, and Vando's your energy guy off the bench. All we know is that there's a really solid top 10, and 11, 12, 13 would be rotation guys on a lot of other teams, and at times were rotation guys for the Wolves last year. So really interesting to see. Obviously, we need to know how the rest of the offseason shakes out, but the rotation already is deeper because you've added a guy who's been a rotation guy on plenty of playoff teams, and he's, you know, getting $9 million a year. He's going to be in your rotation. He's going to be in your top eight throughout the season and hopefully into the playoffs. Okay, what I want to do last on the show is I want to take a look at what could happen next. Some of the names that potentially, or at least were rumored to be connected to the Wolves, what happened there, and what I think the Wolves could look to do next. And if they add anybody else, what do they have to work with in terms of cap space, roster spots, et cetera? What kind of moves might need to be made in order to clear up space to add somebody? We're going to close the show with all that, get you ready for the weekend, as undoubtedly there will be some NBA news over the weekend as well. First, let's talk about our friends at BetOnline. BetOnline.net is your number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. Find all the latest sports developments, league reviews, and news, including this year's NHL playoffs, which of course just ended, as did of course the NBA Finals not that long ago, which means it's really just Major League Baseball ongoing now, gearing up for football. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sport wagering information, including live betting, esports, and scores. Plus, BetOnline.net remains the best spot for all your sports scores, podcasts, and news this season. BetOnline.net is the fastest and easiest way to check in on all your favorite sports and events, including MMA, boxing, and golf. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends in action. I will say also, there are some betting odds at BetOnline.net regarding the NBA offseason free agency, where players might end up. I think there's like a Russell Westbrook, you know, what's the most likely next team he's on. Those prop bets are on BetOnline.net. So be sure to go check it all out. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, let's close out this show today by talking about what the Wolves could potentially do next. We talked on Thursday's show, potential targets for the Wolves. A lot of them ended up elsewhere very quickly. Like, for instance, Tyus Jones, I mentioned, went back to the Grizzlies quickly. Mo Bamba signed back with Orlando to a deal for a couple of years. I talked briefly about Isaiah Hartenstein on the show a couple of days ago, and he has gone to the Knicks. PJ Tucker has reportedly already signed with the 76ers. JaVale McGee, who I thought might be a low-cost option as a backup center, signed with Dallas to a three-year deal. Chris Boucher, who is maybe my favorite kind of semi-under-the-radar target, is back with Toronto. He signed a multi-year deal there. The only guy that I really talked about that may still be out there, or I think is still out there in terms of free agency, would be Bismack Biyombo, at least in terms of bigs. I also mentioned Bruce Brown Jr. I think he's still in the market too, unless I missed that one. But Biyombo is still out there. He could be a vet minimum guy. Bruce Brown could still be out there, although similar type role as a Kyle Anderson. So at that point, the Wolves would certainly need to make a trade, move on from like a Malik Beasley or Jalen Nowell if they're going to free up a roster spot for a guy like Brown. But keep an eye on Bismack Biyombo potentially as kind of a vet minimum depth type guy for the Wolves. So with all those players off the table, what do the Wolves do next? They're obviously not just done. I mean, I guess they could be done. I don't think that they want to be, though. I think Tim Connolly wants to be active. Now, The roster is full at 15 players, plus a qualifying offer out to Nate Knight. They still have two-way contracts to fill, although I'm going to work under the assumption that Josh Minot signs one of those. The Wolves are about $9 million below the tax, which basically just means they could add money via trade, right? They can't really use that cap space to sign anybody because the roster is full. And undoubtedly, they're using the mid-level exception to sign Kyle Anderson. So again, we don't know exactly how that deal is split up, if the full $18 million, if it's split $9 million this year, $9 million next year, or if it's, you know, a little less this year, or if it's, you know, backloaded a little bit, a little more this year, I guess either way, if it's backloaded or front-loaded, we don't know. So assuming that it's not the straight $9 million, or I guess even if it is, they're going to have a couple million, you know, somewhere between $1.5 and $2 million of the mid-level exception left, which is a little bit more than the vet minimum. So they could go out and sign somebody with that money. Like, say Biombo wants a few hundred thousand dollars more than the vet minimum, he could come to Minnesota if they create the roster spot to have him I'm just throwing this out there, trading Naz Reid for two future second round picks, something like that. That's always a possibility. They could free up a roster spot and then use that. Or they could, I mentioned Minot earlier, if he doesn't sign a two-way, they could do, like I said in the first segment, what they did with Jalen Noel as a second round pick, what they did with Naz Reid as an undrafted free agent a couple of years ago. And that sign a partially guaranteed multi-year deal to lock up Minot with some of that cap space instead of just going the two-way route. So those are all options. But all that to say is, the Wolves have cap space that they could really only use on the trade market, and they've got a little bit of money as part of the mid-level exception as non-taxpayers that they could use to sign somebody for slightly above the vet minimum. So the most likely scenario is that they make a trade and either take back some additional salary as part of that trade, again, with the roughly $9 million they've got left under the cap, or I should say under the tax, or they could do nothing, or they could trade somebody to free up a little bit more of that cap space and free up a roster spot and then go out and sign somebody else in free agency. So they could attach some picks to a Naz or a Jalen Noel or Leandro Bolmaro, who hopefully you don't need to attach picks to trade him, but they could do something like that to then take back some additional salary or free up a roster spot to make a move in free agency. So that's all possible. I still think the most likely scenario, and I've said this almost every day this week because I want to make sure this is on record here. The Malik Beasley trade possibility is still very much a thing. I think he's a player that other teams will have interest in. The contract is reasonable. The option on next year's deal, without rehashing the whole thing, basically very quickly, if he plays very well, whichever team trades for him can pick up the option, have him for what, $16.5 million next year. If he doesn't, they let the contract expire. If it's somewhere in the middle or if it's a team that doesn't make the playoffs, they could trade him and get that same benefit the Wolves would get in trading him. Now, everybody knows he can score 18 plus 20-ish points per game and shoot 39, 40, 41% from three. He's got to be in the right situation. He's got to be in shape. He's got to stay out of trouble, all that stuff. Of course, this last year, you know, just didn't go the way that the Wolves would want it to go for Beasley. And Beasley didn't play great even when he got back into shape, he still wasn't really himself throughout the season. But given the 2-3 seasons before that, everyone knows what he can do. So I think there's trade value there. And I will say also, Doogie Wilson of KSCP mentioned on Twitter in the afternoon on Thursday, he said something about teams making background. Right here, I've got the tweet here. He says, the direct quote from Doogie is, "I will say that Connolly making some sort of trade would not surprise me. One example, teams have been making background calls, gathering info about Beasley. Nothing appears imminent." So again, I've been saying on the show for days, I think the Beasley trade possibility is just as likely or more likely than the D'Lo trade possibility. I think running it back another year with D'Angelo Russell, you won 46 games last year. We know that they can win with D'Lo at some level. It's not, you know, they don't have to force it, right? They could allow the contract to expire next offseason. They get the cap space, let him walk. They could try and extend him at a lower, you know, price point. D'Lo's going to want a max, but realistically, is he going to get it anywhere? Would the Wolves be able to extend him at a lower price point than the max? That's always a possibility. Or they trade him. If things go south or whatever, or the team disappoints, they could always trade him at the deadline, which isn't, I mean, if they do that, it means the season has gone horribly wrong for the Wolves, I think. But your option, you don't have to do anything with D'Lo. The rumors are out there, but you don't have to do anything with him. And I think Malik Beasley is a more tradable contract. I think you get back more for him. And his position's already, it could be filled internally essentially right now. I mean, some combination of all the guys we've talked about. Obviously, Anthony Edwards is the obvious one, but you're already playing D'Lo and Pat Bev together in the backcourt. You have Anthony Edwards. You have Jalen Noel. You have Kyle Anderson. You have Jade McDaniels, who could both play the three, and Edwards can slide to the two. You've got Wendell Moore, your first-round pick. Torian Prince can be in the mix for the three and the four. That slides Edwards back down to the two. I mentioned Pat Bev can play the two. You could play J-Mac at the one and D'Lo at the two. I mean, you've got plenty of options to fill that Beasley role, and I think it'd be easier to trade him. And again, you get more back for him than you do for D'Angelo Russell at this stage in their respective careers and given their respective contracts. So I stand by that. I still think it's more likely Beasley's move than D'Angelo Russell. We'll see. But I think that's the most likely next move. I don't know that it's going to happen in a day or 2 days. I don't know it'll happen this weekend. It might not happen at all. They could completely stand pat and maybe add a vet minimum and you know, shuffle some stuff at the end of the roster a little bit. But if they make a big trade, my prediction is still a Beasley trade. Perhaps it's, you know, the Pacers or it's, you know, a team like that that's kind of a team that seems to be lurking for these sorts of transactions, maybe picking up picks along the way, trying to shed some veterans. Or perhaps it's a true, like a fringe playoff team. You know, the Wizards have been adding guards, you know, a team like that. That's always possible as well. So keep an eye on Malik Beasley and those rumors over the weekend here as we move through the early stages of NBA free agency. All right, that's all we have for you today here on the show. Of course, if anything major happens this weekend, we'll do an emergency show. We'll do some quick reaction on YouTube and on Twitter. So stay tuned. Otherwise, we'll be back on Monday. We're still daily throughout the month of July, actually. We'll be daily. Summer League, I want to talk about that. The Wolves actually released their Summer League roster on Thursday. So we'll talk about that a little bit more on Monday, pending, of course, free agency news. But I wanted to let that breathe and talk free agency today. We'll get back into Summer League next week. They start Summer League play, I think, towards the end of next week. So we'll cover that as well on the show. Of course, the rest of free agency and trade rumors. Thank you for making Locked On Wolves your first listen every day. A reminder that this show is free and available everywhere, including YouTube, as well as all of your favorite audio platforms. You can also follow on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves and at BBeacon with two Bs, two Es, C-K-E-N. Of course, the Locked On Wolves podcast is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on all the biggest stories. Thanks again for making us your first listen. And a reminder that for your second listen, you can get up to date on the latest news and rumors of the NBA in just 30 minutes every single day with Locked On NBA. Locked On NBA, your daily NBA update in just 30 minutes. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.